All right, well, we'll be in John chapter number 15 this morning. John chapter number 15. And I was listening in to my dad's Sunday school lesson up here and was thinking, I think me and him are about going the same route on a lot of things this morning. His Sunday school lesson slash sermon that he had going there. It kind of was getting a little bit blurry in that line there. I felt like it was good though. Was talking about what to do when your wheels fall off, and I want to speak to you very similarly. What to do when you are running on empty? What to do when you're running on empty? So John chapter number 15, and we're going to begin verse number 1, and I'm going to read on down to verse 17. We'll come back and pick a few things out of this passage. One of these great passages of Christ teaching his disciples, and great words of comfort to be found in these chapters surrounding this. But John chapter 15, I'd probably be very familiar to you. Verse number 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. Verse 10. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments, and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another, as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that ye should go bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give to you. These things I command you, that ye love one another. You know, it amazes me how far technology has come just in my lifetime, and a lot of you have seen it come a lot further in yours. But just in these last few decades, it's amazing to think that right here in my pocket, in the palm of my hand now, my iPhone has more power, more computing power in it than what they put a man on the moon with. It's kind of scary to think about Neil Armstrong and those guys. But I've got more power in the palm of my hand than those Apollo spacecraft had, by far. It's not even close. One area that there's been a lot of change in, thinking back, is that of automobiles. And it's amazing how far the technology in an automobile has come. A lot of people complain about it, especially when you have to get them worked on, but it really is. Some of the advancements are for comfort. I was thinking the other day, I have not seen in ages a vehicle that had those little vents on the passenger side windows. You know, the little triangular vents that you'd open up and you'd stick out so the air would flow through. I don't remember the last time I saw a vehicle, but I remember driving in vehicles. You were very thankful for those because that's the only way you got air moving in those things. Of course, I mean, we're thankful for AC itself, especially in Texas in this time of year. We're very thankful for that. Some of the new technology out there gives us better performance and safety. Cars today ride smoother. They're much more fuel efficient than just even 10, 20 years ago. Some of these advancements exist because we are idiots. And my car has some of those features. And I'll tell you what, they spoil you a little bit. Mine's got the deal, lane assist or something it's called, where it will help keep you in the, it'll kind of nudge the wheels a little bit and keep you driving in a lane. I kind of like that. It spoils me. When I drive my wife's car, I'm all over the place because I kind of get spoiled with that on mine. My car will beep at you if it thinks you're about to hit something. And it's probably saved me a couple of times. I'll be honest. I mean, I know those are there because we're terrible drivers, but I kind of like those things in there today. One of the things that they do along these lines, too, is they're so handy. They pop up and tell you, you've got 50 miles left or something like that. You can pull up there and they'll tell you, you've got 250 miles left before you have to fill up. There's no guesswork. Back in the old days, and perhaps maybe you got an older vehicle and you have to look, okay, now when it gets to that little part of the E, I know I've got about 10 miles or, I got a quarter tank, I got about this far. Guys like Drew and Micah, they're never going to have to know that by the time, their vehicles and stuff, it's just going to be long gone. But like I say, a car will come up and tell you right now, you push a little button on the screen, it'll tell you, you've got 76 miles left. And, it's really nice. It lets you know how much time you had to fill up. And mine, I'll tell you what's bad about that, though, is usually I got 10 more miles. I can wait till tomorrow. Or you get in my, I'm not going to call her name, but the person that lives in my house who drives the Black Expedition, you get in her car and it usually needs gas, like that. It's like, well, I got plenty. I can get there tomorrow. And like, we're going to be lucky to get there today. anyway. I'm not talking about cars this morning, but I do want to talk about running on empty. And you've been there. In fact, you might be there today. Just kind of getting a feel for a crowd today. I feel like there's a lot of people there this morning. I know I am there. There's times I'll sit down to prepare a sermon for Sunday, and I tell you, my cup runneth over, and boy, it just all comes together, and there's joy, and there's excitement, and I just can't wait to get up here and share with you what the Lord, put on my heart. Then there's other times I sit there, and I stare at a blank Word document on my computer. I stare at that blank screen and think, what in the world am I going to say? I'll get my Bible out, and I'll flip through, and I'll be reading different things and chase down different ideas, and it's like, what in the world am I going to do? It's like you're reaching in the tank and the tank is empty. There's just nothing there to get you going. Like I say, I'll be honest and open with you. It's been a rough week. I know many of you have had rough weeks too. I've talked to a few folks, and I mean we got folks going through a lot right now. I ask, are you here this morning with an empty tank spiritually, with an empty tank emotionally? Did you just have enough to get here this morning? You got up this morning and said, well, I got enough. I can make it to church. But maybe that usual joy, that usual excitement is just, it's not there. By the way, before I get too far in this, I want to say, I don't think it's a sin to have an empty tank. I don't think it's a sin to have an empty tank. Life is difficult. The cares and burdens of this world are very heavy at times. Sometimes we will weep until our eyes can't make any more tears. Sometimes we'll just give out. We just want to lock ourselves in our room and just the world can do whatever. You got to have some time to get away and kind of recharge. God knows that we are not robots. God knows that. I remind you that Christ himself grew tired, that he himself shed tears. He knows our frailties, but he also wants to help us when we're weak. He told Paul in 2 Corinthians 12:9, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. This morning I want to draw some lessons for dealing with an empty tank from one of the most comforting portions of scripture there is. You start in about John 14, 15, 16, 17, the words, the prayer that Christ offers up for his disciples is I believe he's preparing them for what's to lie ahead. They're about to arrest him. They're about to beat him. They're about to crucify him. These disciples are about to have the world turned upside down on them. And I think he's trying to prepare them to survive these next few days and to prosper in the days that would come after once he is risen from the dead. I think this is one of the richest veins of priceless truths that a Christian can mine or is in these three or four chapters right here. So I hope these thoughts are a help to you this morning. First thing I want us to see, and this one, I'll be honest, is kind of not necessarily taken as much from a text as just a general idea. But we need to remember that not every season is a harvest season. Not every season is a harvest season. You look down throughout this, and there's so many things here that talk about bearing fruit. Verse 8 talks about, you know, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. But we have this whole imagery of a farmer, and talking about a vine, I'm assuming there he's talking about growing grapes with this culture and things. And the disciples would have immediately known and understood. They would have walked by this. They may have grown their own. You know, they understood what we're saying. And sometimes, though, today where we're at, where, you know, kids grow up thinking milk comes from Walmart, sometimes we have to remind ourselves of the agricultural pictures here. And as we examine this passage with that kind of theme, with that angle of what to do when you're running on empty, I think you also take into account the agricultural imagery, and there's something that a thought that occurred to me. And before I go too far, like I said, I don't know, it's hard to say, like there's one text in here that screams this, but I think there's a universal truth kind of underlying this. And that is, there's only one time of the year you get to harvest. Any farmer knows that. There's only one time of the year. You don't get to go out in the middle of winter and harvest. No, there's a time that you plow. There's a time that you plant. There's a time to go out and prune and fertilize and weed. And then there's finally a time to harvest. I looked it up, and according to one article online, and it's used a chart I've seen before, it said the time of harvesting grapes in the Holy Land would be from June to September. There's 3 or 4 months there that you would harvest grapes. So you think about that. The longest, you have 4 months out of the year that you would be harvesting and producing fruit. That means 8 months you didn't get anything. 8 months you would walk out there and look at an empty vine or one that wasn't ready, and there was nothing there to pick. It was not producing fruit. If you're running on empty this morning, do not become discouraged because you're not bearing fruit or making progress like you do on your best days. There are seasons of life that prepare us for a harvest. There are seasons of life where you rest and you live off of a harvest. But there's also winter months when you cannot plant, you cannot harvest. So stay strong, stay faithful. The springtime will return, and another day of harvest will come. Do not be discouraged because it's not a time of harvest right now. Second thing I want us to see is when we're running on empty, we can draw strength from Christ. We can draw strength from Christ. Verses 4 and 5. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. I could go this morning, and I could drive down to Paradise and go to my dad's house, and I could go back there in his backyard, and he's got the peach tree back there. And I could go back there, and I could chop off a limb from that peach tree. I could take that limb back to my house and go in there and set it on the kitchen table. Now, I could stare at that. I could look at that thing from now till forever. Would it ever produce fruit? No, it's just a branch. I took it away from the life-giving tree, from the trunk that it was attached to. It's ridiculous for me to expect that branch that I cut off a tree to produce anything. Well, when we're running on empty, we need to remind ourselves that we are attached to Christ. In fact, we're inseparable from Him. It's a picture of eternal life and salvation, yes, but it's also a picture of strength for everyday life. By the way, the gospel is not just a fire escape to get out of hell, to get into heaven. It's not just to save our soul. The gospel is for everyday life. The gospel works in every aspect of our life. A couple of verses Paul wrote talking about his strength in Christ. Galatians 2, verse number 20 says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things, how? Through Christ, which strengtheneth me. When I cannot, he can. And it's an important lesson to learn, and one that we should put in practice long before we actually hit E, or we get down where it says you've got 3 miles left, and you're wondering how you're going to make it. You need to start learning that we have a strength beyond ourselves. We have Christ who strengthens us, who can keep us going, who can give us the grace to overcome and triumph, or sometimes just to keep one foot in front of the other and make it through this life. We can draw strength from Christ. The third thing I want us to see in verse number 7 is that when we're running on empty, we can run to God in prayer. We can run to God in prayer. Verse number 7, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. When something big happens, I get some big news or some kind of big thing breaks or whatever, good, bad, my first inclination is to pick up my phone and call one of two people. I either call my wife or my dad. Those are the first two people I call. Anything happens, it kind of depends on what it is, what order I call them in, but those are the first two people that I will call. It's a natural human response to reach out to others when something extraordinary happens. But to be honest, we need to harness that and redirect it a little bit. Our first action ought to be to take it to God, to run to Him first. Prayer should not be a last resort. It should be the first action we take in any circumstance. If something good happens, run to the Lord in prayer and thank Him. Something bad happens, run to Him and ask for help. It really is something we need to learn to do. Is this whatever we do, our first reaction be to run to God. We need to learn to pray when we're running on empty. I have been at times, I'll sit down at my desk and heart's overwhelmed, and I'll get my Bible out and try to read, and I can't read. Just words don't make sense. The letters, the lines, just nothing's there. But, you know, I've never found a point where I could not pray. Even when my heart's overwhelmed, I've found I can still pray. I may not can read my Bible, but I can still pray. I never failed to find comfort in prayers. The lyrics of the classic song say, "Are we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care? Precious Savior, still our refuge, take it to the Lord in prayer." Now, I want to point out one thing here, that this is conditional on our faith and on our reliance to God. It says, if, there's a conditional statement, if ye abide in me, and then there's also an obedience, my words abide in you. We must bow ourselves in prayer with one knee on faith and the other on faithfulness. If you wonder why prayers aren't being answered, that's probably what it is. We're not resting our prayers and founding them on the right things. And you have one knee on faith and the other on faithfulness. That's when you get in that position, God will hear your prayers. The fourth thing I want us to see is we need to rest in His love. We need to rest in His love. Verses 9 and 10. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. I don't know about you, but when my tank is empty, when I'm running on fumes, when I don't know if I'm going to make it to the next gas station or not with my own heart and my emotions and, you know, the way this world's crashing down on me, I tell you, I feel extremely vulnerable. You talk about like animals. You've always heard you don't mess with a wounded animal because they're hurt. They're going to attack you. They don't understand you're trying to help them. Even you can have a pet dog that loves you to death, but if they got a sticker in their paw, they might snap at you because they just don't understand. I'm telling you, sometimes we get like that when our tank is empty. We feel very vulnerable. We feel very helpless. You know, when I get like that, I want to feel things. I just can't when I'm in that state. You become overwhelmed and you sort of just kind of numb yourself to what's going on. It's easy at this time to not feel God's love for you. It's easy to not feel God's love for you. It's easy to doubt that He cares. But just because you feel that way, and like I say, it may seem very real, it's not reality. Just because you feel like God doesn't love you does not mean that God does not love you. The reality is that God never stops caring for us. Romans chapter 8, verses 38 and 39. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I think on that list of things, running on empty would be pretty small compared to a lot of those things. God's love for us does not stop just because we're having a hard time. In fact, the reality is God draws closer to us when our hearts are broken. One of my favorite verses, I use it all the time, Psalm 34, verse 18. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. God draws closer to us when our heart is aching. He doesn't repel backwards. He draws closer to us. So don't let doubt set in. Don't let it take hold of your mind. Don't give in to despair. Even when we are running on empty, we are safe and secure, swallowed up in the boundless ocean of God's love. Fifth thing I want to see in the final thing is we need to know that we're not alone. When we're running on empty, we need to know that we're not alone. Verses 12 and then verse 17. Verse 12 says, this is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Verse 17, these things I command you, that ye love one another. Two things I want to comment on this. First off, we need to remember that there are others that need us. There are others around us that need us. One of the fastest ways I know of to cheer up, get yourself out of even a depression state, is get your eyes off yourself and put it on somebody else. Get your eyes off your problems, your heartaches, and look for someone to help. Start serving someone else. It's one of the quickest ways to get out of one of these situations. Look for something that you can do to be a blessing to someone else. But the second thing I want to say is we need to let others be a blessing to you. We often focus on the kind of the primary part of this command that says we ought to love one another. I'm like, well, you need to love everybody else. I'm going to tell you, there's also another kind of flip side to this. It says you need to let others love you. If we're going to have this, it has to be reciprocal. I'm going to love someone, they're going to love me back. We are not alone in this life. Yes, we have God with us, but we also have brothers and sisters in Christ. And we need each other. We need to help each other. But we also need to let others help us. Let someone be a blessing to you. I don't remember who it was. Years ago, I heard this, and they were trying to give a gift to someone, and the person said, oh, no, I cannot accept that. And the guy told him, says, well, don't rob me of a blessing. Don't rob somebody of being a blessing by helping you. When your tank is empty, here's a good thing to know. When your tank's empty, somebody else's is probably full. And they can help you. They can help you make it through. Romans 15, verses 1 and 2. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. Edification to build up, to strengthen. You got an empty tank this morning. Let somebody who's got some gas in the tank there, who's doing pretty good, let them help you. Let them put your arm around you. Let them love on you. Let them help you. Let them pray for you. And then when you get back and you finally get things filled back up and you're back on a good spot and your cup's running over again, do the same. Find somebody that's got an empty tank and be a blessing to them. Help them. So wrap this up. The musicians come. Just a few quick statements. First off, don't quit when your tank is empty. Don't quit when your tank is empty. You don't go out and buy a new car just because you run out of gas. Okay, you fill it up and you keep going. sometimes you just have to take time to recharge. Don't give up, but you may need to take a break. Don't give up. Get your tank full again. Find what that is. Some people listening to music help. Some people reading scripture, reading devotions. Find your thing and let it recharge you, and then get back at it. Take a break if you have to, but get back at it. Don't quit. Second, make sure that you fill your tank with good things. I think a lot of times we run on empty is because what we filled up our lives with and what we try to run on is not very good stuff. Same thing, we use the illustration a lot of times of eating too many sweets. That's not good for you for a diet. In fact, you know, these professional athletes and stuff like that who are, you know, peak physical condition, they don't eat a lot of the junk food that us other people eat. And, you know, we wonder why. How can that person run a marathon? Well, it's because they've trained and they're actually filling their bodies with the things that they're, you know, their body, the carbohydrates and the fuel and stuff to move and to keep going. If those guys lived on Dr. Peppers and Bluebell ice cream, they might not make it that first little bit. And, you know, I'm not going to get meddling in your personal diet this morning. That's too, I already see Matilda's already over there. But spiritually speaking, what are we filling up on? And we wonder why we run on empty when we're not filling up on the Word of God. We're not filling up on, like I said, good sound music. We're not filling up with good fellowship. We're not filling up with church. We're not filling up on a personal devotion time. And we wonder why we run on empty. We need to fill ourselves with good stuff. And the last thing I want to say is that the best way to keep from running on empty, in fact, you are running on empty if you do not have Christ. Period. End of story. You have to have Christ. There's an emptiness, a hole in every human heart that only Christ can fill. You have to come to Him. If you're going to make it in this world, we focus on eternity. I don't know how you make it through this life without Christ. You need Him. If you don't know Him this morning, get that settled. Find forgiveness, find salvation in Him. And if you do that, oh, your tank may run empty, but it will be filled again. Think about what He said to the Samaritan woman. It says, whoever draws from this water, says they'll never thirst again. We have an unlimited supply we can tap into when we plug ourselves. We get attached. We're that branch attached to the vine that is Christ. What a help, what a joy, what a comfort it is this morning. When we're running on empty, He's never empty. And it's a boundless, overflowing, wonderful supply that He gives to us. All right, Olin, what number there? 320 in the Baptist hymnal. If you'll stand, we'll have a short time of invitation this morning. Number 320 in the Baptist hymnal. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for this day. We thank You for Your blessings. And Lord, as I can speak personally, it's one of those times where things are kind of overwhelming. Got a lot going on. I know there's others in here that can lift up their hands and testify the same thing right now. And if not, they've recently been through it, or they will be going through a time like that. It's life that we're going to have heartaches and sorrows. But Lord, I am so thankful that even though times get hard, even though we may look up at You and throw our hands up and say, God, I can't do it anymore, that You still love us. You have grace. You can give us strength. You can give us courage. You can give us the power to keep going, to keep putting one foot in front of the other and keep moving forward. Help us to have that faith, that everyday faith, that everyday reliance on You to keep moving, to keep moving forward. And Lord, not give up when things go hard, not to throw our hands up and quit when the tank gets empty, but just to rely on You. Take the time to get back and get back into the fight. Challenge our hearts, I pray. Comfort our hearts, I pray. Have some simple thoughts here this morning. I pray this in Thy holy name. Amen.